the first letter of John, and chapter 1, that's found on 819 in the Red Bibles. And we'll just pray again before we read. Father, we just look to you for grace now in the preaching of the word, of the listening to the word. We just pray that you would undertake and that your name would be glorified now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want tonight really to concentrate on this verse, verse number 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we spend a lot of time talking to you about the character of God. And one of the key things about the character of God is that there is no sin in him. Not the tiniest amount of sin. And that's why it says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, as we look at our lives, we can see very clearly that there is sin in our lives. And we may have hidden certain of our sins from other people. And there may be sins that you don't want other people to know about. Sins perhaps you wouldn't want me to know about. Some sins you wouldn't want your friends to know about. Some you wouldn't mind so much. But if you were happy for your friends to know, you might not be happy for your parents to know, or your grandparents, or other people. And so each one of us wants to hide our sins because we're ashamed of them. But you see, God is so different from us because there is nothing that God needs to hide. So that's why it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is nothing in God that he needs to hide from us. There is no sin in him, nothing that he needs to be ashamed of. And I wonder, can you imagine what it would be like if there was something, some sin in God, something wrong with God, something that God could be ashamed of? Well, for a start, the whole universe would collapse if there were any sin in God. But can you imagine if there were no absolute in the universe? Maybe you've got respect for certain people in your life. Maybe it's your grandparents, or maybe a friend or an older person that you respect. And you look at them, and you'd be slightly shocked if they did the things that you do. Whatever it is that you do, maybe there are people that you look at and say, well, they would never do it. And if you saw them doing those things that you do, you would be shocked. And it's that shock that reveals to us that there is something wrong in us. Because just as we can look at other people and say, well, I would be shocked if they did what I do. In a sense, as a shock with God about what we do. In a sense, he's not surprised. In a sense, God knows exactly what we're like. And yet there's a shock about the sin in our lives. Because the sin in our lives, they're not small things. They're not unimportant things. But God sees them all. And he cares, and they're such a big challenge to God that it caused him to leave the throne of glory. It caused God to leave heaven and come down and to die on a cross and to carry our sins. So it says, in him is light. In God is that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so if we think in terms of the fact that if we want to have a relationship with God, and God is completely light, there's no sin in God, there's no darkness in God, if we are ever to come into contact with God, then our sin has got to be dealt with, hasn't it? If there is nothing sinful about God, if he's, as it were, living completely in the light, in order for us to come out and be friends with God, then our sin has got to be washed away. And so we talk a lot about sin. And so you may come to the place where you think, well, surely sin isn't that important. Yes, I do things wrong, but surely it's not that important. But as I've said, if you think of God and imagine if there was some sin in God, just imagine if there was some sin in God. And we are sometimes unkind to each other. Imagine if the one who rules the universe could in any way be unkind. Maybe we have unclean thoughts in our minds. Imagine if God could have an unclean thought. Imagine if there was no one in control of the universe who was completely pure, who was completely clean. Just imagine it, that there was no final perfection in the world, but that everything in the world, including God, was just as sinful, just as unclean as us. Can you imagine it? And sometimes we tell lies. Can you imagine if God could lie? If God didn't always tell the truth? If God were not absolutely honest every moment in everything he does and everything he said? Can you imagine that? Other thoughts. We sometimes are selfish, and we may show that by stealing from people. And we're selfish, we're wanting things for ourselves all the time. Can you imagine if God was like that? If he was selfish and he was seeking all the time for himself, instead of thinking of caring for us, instead of loving us the whole time. Can you imagine if God were like that? But he's not. And God is so pure and God is so holy. There's nothing wrong with God. And the wonderful thing is that if we come to God, that we know that there is someone there that we can trust. And you maybe can't wholly trust your friends. Maybe you can 75%. You trust your friends. You think, they might let me down. They might favor someone else in front of me. Maybe they found a new friend and they're starting to get on with them, and they might let me down. So we maybe trust our friends 75%. I wonder how much we can trust our families. But how terrible it would be if we could not trust God completely. Yet the truth of the matter is that we can trust God completely, and the reason that we can trust God completely is because there's no sin in God. There's nothing wrong with God. And even if there were the tiniest sin in God, then we could not trust him completely. We could always think, well, he's got another motive in doing something for us. We think of how he died on the cross. Or we think, oh, well, did he have another motive? There he is, hanging on a cross, demonstrating his love for us, making it very clear to everybody that he's not there for anything for himself, but he's there for us. And he does that in public. And he makes it absolutely obvious that he's there, dying for us. He doesn't hide it away, but he makes it obvious that he's there for us, that he's giving himself. And that's why the cross is so important, as it were, as we talk to you about God, because it's God saying, in a sense, I'd have no other motive in dealing with you but to love you. And this is how much I love you. This is how I'm demonstrating to you that I love you. There is no other motive in me but to love you, and I will do everything for you. I will die on a cross in agony and pain to show that there is no ulterior motive. There is no sin in me. And so we can trust God. We know that God is wholly reliable. But then you say, but I want to come to God with my sin. I don't want to let go of my sin in coming into a relationship with God. Now, if God could allow us to be friends with him and still keep our sin, if our sin were not dealt with, then that would mean there was something sinful in God. If to him our dirty jokes didn't matter, that would mean there was something unclean about God. If God could tolerate dirty jokes, that would mean that he thought they were okay. And he's not like that. He's without sin. He's perfect. He's reliable. If he could tolerate our lying, that would mean there was something deceitful about God. If he could tolerate our stealing, our selfishness, all of it, that would mean there was something that was not quite right about God. And that would mean that the God that we tell you about was not worth following. He would be a God that was not reliable. And if you prayed to him, you couldn't be sure that he would answer in a good way. As you think about gods of other religions, the gods of Greek and Roman myths, that's what they were like. They were not reliable. They were not without sin. They would do things from selfish motives. Basically, they were like humans, and very often worse forms of humans. But the God of the Bible, the real God, the God who is alive, the God who answers prayers, is not like that. And he is absolutely perfect. He's absolutely just, which means that you know that when you come to him admitting your sin, that he will receive you. Why? One of the reasons is because he's put it in this book, and as we've said, he cannot lie, and he has declared that what's written in this book is a message to us from him. And this is what it says: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to ask you tonight, are you in that position where you're willing to admit your sins? You see, God, as we've said, is in the light. He dwells always in the light, inasmuch as he doesn't have anything to hide. He's open. What his character is, he reveals to us. Throughout history, he's been revealing his character. He doesn't hide anything away. And just as God dwells in the light, he calls us, that means out in the open, where everyone can see, in a sense. He says if we are to have a friendship with him, we need to bring our lives out into the light. That means bringing our sins out into the light. And those sins, every sin that we've ever committed, our sinful nature, to bring it out and confess what we are, our sinfulness before God. And if we do that, that's coming out into the light, if we do that, God will forgive us. He will say, yes, I see your sin. I know everything you've done throughout your life, every sinful thought, every sinful deed, every sinful attitude. And yet I also see that my son Jesus died on that cross for you, that you might be forgiven. And because of that, I forgive you. But you see, you can't receive that forgiveness until you bring the sins out into the light. And just as God has declared his character to us in coming out into the light, so we have to declare what we are before God in order to be forgiven. And we have to come before God and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. And there's no forgiveness unless we do that. There's no point just hiding it's no good just hiding what we are and hiding our sin and saying, well, there may be a God and I kind of want to be friends with him, but I'm not going to admit my sin. But if we are willing to confess our sins, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the fact is, he does cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you really go to God and admit your sin and say, yes, I've done wrong, then he cleanses you from every last sin. It's not that he cleanses you from 90%, but every last sin you've ever committed is dealt with by Jesus Christ at the cross. And you know from that point that you are washed completely clean. And because of that, you have fellowship, you have friendship with God. This eternal God who created the earth, this God who dwells in light, in whom there is no sin. Suddenly you can have that friendship, that fellowship with God. Why? Because your sins have been washed away. And even though naturally in yourself they were your sins, and you committed them, and you have committed them throughout your life, yet at that point, your sin is completely washed away, and you can now stand before God as a cleansed sinner, and everything you've ever done is dealt with. There's no other way it can be dealt with. Time in prison couldn't deal with it. No washing with water could deal with it. But when you come to God in that way, it is dealt with. And you know no one can really point the finger at you from that point, anything you've done wrong. But most of all, you come at that point into a relationship with God. And the fact that you've come into a relationship with God means you have come into a friendship with the person who has all power, who can do anything, which means he can clear up the mess that you've made. And when we sin, we often make a colossal mess. And I can think back through my life and the messes that I've made of my life through sin. But when I turn back to God, he not only forgave me, but he cleared up the mess. And he changed my life and brought me into a place where I was no longer ashamed of who I was and what I was doing, but into a place where I could say, I am a clean person. I am a forgiven person. And yes, I was walking in sin, and I was doing so much that was wrong, yet God has forgiven me. I'd think back to my own childhood. I think back to my youth, and my story is this. I was born in a Christian family. My father was a preacher, a pastor of a church, and when I was about 16 months old, my father died. And so I was growing up just with a mother. And when I was about 6 or 7 years of age, my grandmother came to live with us. And that was fairly tough. She was about 90 when she came to live with us. And she was mentally very confused. She needed full-time care from my mother. And that made life tough for us. So my mother was looking after my grandmother for 24 hours a day, basically, every day of the year, without any real rest. And my grandmother would be kind of awake through the night and shouting and doing all this stuff. So my mother was tired out the whole time trying to bring up two of us kids. And so life wasn't great at home. And as a result of that, certainly when I became a teenager, because life wasn't great at home, I started doing all sorts of things that I shouldn't be doing. And, you know, you maybe see me here wearing a tie and preaching from the Bible. But as a teenager, I was full of sin. That was my life. My reputation at school was as about one of the worst in the school. In the master's common room, there was the headmaster's notice board. And my name was singled out. It was the only name on that notice board continually, which said, if you have a problem with Tom Harrison, go to his housemaster. Go and, you know, go directly to him the moment you have a problem. My reputation was so bad that I knew if I looked across what was called the grass quad in the school and saw two masters talking, they were talking about me and the latest thing that I'd done. And yet I was someone who had been brought up in a Christian family. I had started to get to know God as a child. But because of the home life, really, and because it was tough, I wanted to find pleasure, find happiness in other things. And so I was doing all sorts of stuff that I shouldn't do. And really, by the time I was 19, I had a pretty bad reputation in all sorts of circles. Just for my behavior, for my attitude, everything. And I came to that place where I felt I was so unclean. And yet I knew God was real. And I knew that God loved me and he had something to do in my life. And it was when I got to university, and basically in my first year at university, that God really spoke to me in a powerful way. And he brought various things crashing down in my life. And things I'd built my life on. I said, this is where my life lies. These are the friends that I'm going to trust in. And I built my life on these things. And he brought them crashing down. And everything I was relying on, all the kind of parties and that thing, suddenly they so engineered things, everything came crashing down. And I no longer had the life. And I suddenly realized, God, you're talking to me. And you're showing me how I have wandered from you. And I'm so glad he did bring everything crashing down. Because he caused me to turn back to him. And so I realized the sin that was in my heart. The sin that needed dealing with. And tonight you can think of the sin that's in your heart. And yes, there are factors in our lives. There are factors in our home life and whatever that put pressure on us and cause us to sin. They make it easy for us to sin, as it were. But God is there and he's waiting to forgive us if we will only turn to him. I want to challenge you tonight. Perhaps you are fed up with your life. You're fed up with the sin in your life, the various aspects that you want to be dealt with. You're just saying, I no longer can cope with this kind of life. I don't want to live this kind of life. I want to be forgiven. I want a relationship with the God who is all-powerful, who can clean up my mess. And God is seriously offering that to you tonight, if you will really turn from your sin. You see, as we've said, God is in light. And if you're going to have that relationship with God and God is going to clear up your life, you have got to turn from all sin and say, yes, I turn from it, O God, and I believe Jesus has died to save me. If you really do that, God will wipe every sin away. He will also wipe every tear from your eye. He will, as it were, deal with the problems that you have. The things that make you cry, he can deal with that when you come into a relationship with him. I want to challenge you tonight. Are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to be serious with God? God was serious in his dealing with you. So serious that he would go to a cross and he would suffer in agony for a long period of time and shed his blood that you could be forgiven. It was a hard thing for him to do. As he looked forward to the cross, he said to his Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, this time of agony from me. Yet not my will, but yours. It was a tough thing for him to do. Yet he did it for your sake. And you may think, well, it's a tough thing to turn from my sin and to trust in Jesus. But he has done that for you. I wonder, are you willing to take that free offer of salvation, turn from everything you've done wrong and receive that salvation? The moment you really turn from your sin with all your heart, he washes you clean, but he also gives you, he's there with you. And with his Holy Spirit, he is with you, he's inside you, and he gives you the power to live as you need to. It's not like you're just forgiven and then left alone. He is there with you to give you the power to live as you should. Let me challenge you tonight. Do you want your life cleaned up? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to know that God is with you and he will give you the strength, he will give you the power to live as you should, to do what you should? The choice is there tonight. I would urge you to just to get hold of God and say, yes, I want my life turned around. Just as my life was really turned around when I was about 19, 20, God can turn your life around in a tremendous way. And your life will never be the same again. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this free offer of salvation that you make to each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you paid the price for it, that it might come freely to us, that we can just come to you, coming out into the open, coming out into the light, admitting our sins, and you are able to deal with the sins, to wash them away, and to deal with the mess that we've caused in our lives. Oh God, we thank you for this free offer of salvation. Lord, enable us. I pray now, if there is anyone here who wants to take that step, oh God, that you would just enable them in their hearts to do it, to grasp hold of you, to get hold of you and to meet you for salvation. Lord, you are able now to give the power to different ones here just to turn to you, to choose to follow you. Oh Lord, give them that enabling, give them that power. Lord, that lives can be changed, that sins can be forgiven, and there can be that new start, beginning as children, as newcomers to your kingdom. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you and ask for grace to help. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sing number 85 in the Red Book. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, my ransom, shed for me his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He shall never be forgotten through heaven's everlasting days. Number 85.
The ocean, loving kindness as the flood.